you've come across another Be Real Show epic hidden special super interview with Panini America, folks. If you guys know Panini America, they are the leader right now in sports cards, blockchain, digital cards, trading cards. They got the new Spectra coming out, Prism. They got many different things, National Treasures. The company is amazing, and we're going to get into it. But if you are looking into sports cards market, folks, start and ends with Panini. They are doing it on all different levels, football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, and the list goes on. And I am so pumped to bring you this special interview today, folks.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy is always fired up. And one of the biggest pleasures of creating this show 6.5 years ago and to get where we are now after 270, 280 episodes is to interview people that I've dreamed of. And this brand, Panini, is a dream brand. And this gentleman is at the helm of it, Mr. Tracy Heckler. Tracy, are you ready to be real?
I'm ready to be real. I'm honored for the opportunity to be real and look forward to chatting with you, man.
Absolutely. Now, Tracy has an incredible, incredible track record, if you want to call it, or, you know, basically bio, folks, into the sports card industry, everything from working from Beckett to working from the Donruss brands. And now for the last 10 years, you've been at the helm of the brand in the sports card industry, Panini, folks. As you guys have just basically dominated the space, obviously, let's just be real, and continue to with the new things that you're doing in the industry. But man, tell us a little bit about your journey, because like we were talking pre-show, but man, tell the little listeners about your journey in this thing.
Well, it's been a dream come true, as you and I were kind of talking about before we started. It's, you know, I do have to pinch myself sometimes when I walk in the door to think, you know, as a kid who grew up collecting cards in the late 70s, to fast forward whatever, 30, 40 years and think that I can make a living doing this is just surreal to me still. I try never to take a day for granted. I try to always embrace it, look at the positivity of things. And, you know, I started out, I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be a sports writer.
Oh, okay.
So I went to University of North Texas for that. I realized pretty early I wasn't going to make it athletically beyond high school. So I started focusing on other things.
Right.
was able to kind of parlay that into working for being a sports writer for a little bit, going to Beckett Media back then,
right.
Beckett Publications, I guess, back then as an intern. And then that kind of just one thing led to another that opened up doors at Donruss, opened doors back up at Panini, and then back to Beckett. So it was like Beckett, Donruss, back to Beckett, and then to Panini. And so it's been a real blast, and you know, I'm just one small part of this marketing team here, and we're certainly in unprecedented times as it relates to the current climate with sports trading cards, for sure.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing I'm going to get into, folks, because my passions got reignited in this crazy year of 2020. After seeing too many damn Gary Vee videos and the influencers in the space, and also obviously some of my guests too that were telling me, hey, you got to buy this card, and I didn't. And I saw the card just go up and up and up. I'm like, what the hell? This is like a stock, man. Especially obviously the graded cards. And then for me as a collector, Tracy, because I'm like yourself, I was a collector when I was a kid with my paper route money. And still had some of those cards, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I started looking around in 2020, maybe I learned about grading and sending some of these cards off to PSA and SGC, and just kind of learning about the industry again, because it's evolved in these last 20 years, you know? And the grading part is a very impactful part. But then the more and more I started to learn, I keep hearing Prism, Panini, Prism. And I'm like, holy shit, Panini is the brand that everybody wants. I mean, when I was a kid, people were collecting the Tops and the Fleer and the Upper Deck. And I'm sure that I don't know what's happened completely to all these brands, but Panini has become a brand on its own that is just dominant. And
it's probably got to be unbelievable for you to be experiencing that, as well as the industry in general is getting a lot of new investors, a lot of new people, industry, ripping packs, starting businesses, and also investing, buying these cars, holding them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been like, so when Panini came into the North American trading card market back in during the 2009-10 season.
Got you.
And prior to that, they were traditionally an international based soccer.
That's what I was saying. That was a soccer company. Wow.
Yeah, World Cup and just the elementary stickers. You get an album, you get all the stickers, you put them in, you're done.
Absolutely.
So when they came in and landed the NBA license exclusively for 2009-10, it kind of shocked the North American establishment, like, oh, you're letting this sticker company come in and think they can do trading cards. And right. So that's kind of how it started. There was an air of mystery and what was Panini going to do? And as a lot of things kind of converged together to create a situation where Panini, instead of launching kind of its own North American hub, Donruss at the time was about to fall on some hard times. So right. They kind of absorbed a lot of the machinery, a lot of the infrastructure, a lot of the expertise of the Donruss brands into Panini. And then it took quite a few years to kind of perfect the plan, and it's not perfected yet, but I mean, we're still trying to tweak it and get better and better. But one of the things that Panini did, to its credit, was land exclusives first with the NBA, with the NFL, obviously with FIFA, with NASCAR, with some of the colleges. So it's been a real joyride, and it's, when you think back about 10 years, it seems like it's been 20, because there's so much stuff that's been crammed into those 10 years, but it's been a blast. And like you said, now more than ever, maybe there's this influx of new folks in the industry. Gary V has had a lot to do with that. Influencers have had a lot to do with that. Investors have had a lot to do with that.
Absolutely. These cars are like the new artwork, man. These kabooms. And I mean, these cars are beautiful. As you see with my room, these are autographs I collected, Tracy, when I was a kid. I'd send them a letter, and then Tiger Woods or Muhammad Ali or someone would send me an autograph back. And it's the same thing with cards. And you put them in a slab or something like that. You have an Aaron Rodgers rookie, or you have or your favorite rookie card, obviously the Luka Doncic, but Panini Prism. And these cards are just, they're beautiful. And so it's an artwork too. I was trying to explain that to my dad. I think you got a new form of investor that likes to show these off.
Yep.
And unlike art, that doesn't have the interest, LeBron, you're watching on TV, and then you got to see, you know, the LeBron rookie, and it's a full experience that I think that's a new type of investor too. Yeah. And then I think business owners, small people trying to buy up these blaster boxes and rip them and sell them to people, and new types of businesses evolve thanks to social media and Instagram Live. So you guys' platform is just incredible, man. What set was it? Was it a Prism set that you guys started with when you got that exclusive? Or was it Donruss?
Prism didn't really start, I think, 2011-12 season. So it was,
but you're doing Donruss mostly then. It was the Donruss.
A lot of kind of lower end. I mean, we still had National Treasures, which is high end.
Right.
But not long after that, we introduced the Immaculate brand across all sports. We introduced Flawless across all sports.
Yes.
And the Prism, there's something about that Prism technology, that Optichrome technology, that just resonates. And
beautiful cards, man.
Yeah, I mean, they look great. You get the colored parallels, and it's just, to your point, it's like a little piece of art that you don't have to be in a museum. You can have it in your back pocket, or you can have it in your briefcase, whatever. You can show it off. And you know, I think the advancements our creative teams continue to make with the Prism technology, whether it's the color blast inserts, which are just gorgeous, and to ever think that I would talk about trading cards as being beautiful or elegant or whatever the word you want to use it just seems crazy to me, but they really are. Like,
they've evolved a lot from this, like, Randy Johnson rookie card, and like even the most, you know, this is Kevin Durant rookie card,
yeah,
at the Tops, which is a beautiful card, but then you just take any look at any of your other, the Prism stuff, it's unbelievable how these cards just pop, man. I mean, even this one, the Lamar Jackson Elite.
Yeah, that's pretty, card. Man. That's,
you know, it's just a beautiful card, and unbelievable, man. And then, folks, your boy always was interested in the newest things. And so when I was just doing my research, I said, oh, what else is Panini doing? Oh, they're doing Panini Direct. This is a new way that also people can buy into the hobby and do it on their phone like we do on Amazon and things like that. Probably another way for obviously you guys to make sales. But for the consumer, just another great avenue if you don't have a local card shop in your area that you can source this awesome inventory and you want to kind of buy direct without having maybe going through the middleman and things. And now sometimes some of this product is hard to buy, folks, because it's popular. We talked about that this morning. There's the Absolute coming out right now that is insane because it's a great price, value price, I think. Mm-hmm. The price is right. And I think people probably just bought it all up, you know, because you couldn't buy it at one point. But then the next thing I stumbled upon, because your boy in 2015 was into blockchain and I started learning about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, was that you got these unique blockchain cards now, folks, which you're releasing each week, it looks like, some new cards to the store, right? Some one-of-ones, some very rare in a duck shot auction style, right? Right, Tracy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we launched blockchain at the beginning of 2020. Who knew 2020 was going to turn out the way it has?
Right. But
so the first one we did was a National Treasures blockchain set. And so that set and the current set that you're talking about, the Prism blockchain set, has a physical card with the digital card.
Ah.
So if you buy the digital blockchain card, you will get as a gift with purchase the actual physical card. So those two sets have kind of bookended in grand fashion the blockchain initiative that we launched this year, where the ones between the National Treasures and the Prism have been strictly digital virtual cards in the blockchain ecosystem, and it's all housed on our site. And even the digital cards, obviously the physical cards do really, really well. But even the digital cards, I personally have been surprised by how well some of those have done, just because it's not something that I was intimately familiar with.
Right.
So I think we're all can be a little skeptical when we are introduced to those things. And then another thing that we've done on the product side that I really appreciate is we've thrown blockchain bonus cards into like physical product.
Yes.
So like National Treasures, there's a blockchain National Treasures card that's just digital.
Just an extra bonus for you to
exactly get. Right. So it's a way for us to introduce physical trading card collectors to the blockchain environment in a way that they're comfortable with.
Yeah. And the cool part about it too, folks, is you can actually sell these things too. If you have some cards, you want to auction them, you can actually auction them. I've had some successful auctions where I was able to make a little bit of money. I wasn't trying to make a lot. I was just trying to see how it worked, to be transparent with you. But I've been personally just kind of looking at buying them, some of my favorite ones that are rare, and just kind of holding it like I would a personal collector, to be transparent. For sure. And see what happens, you know, just like I did with some of these things, they're rare assets. Some of the more forward-thinking people in crypto are getting into digital artwork and things like that. So I think this lines up right with that, in that it is on your phone, it's shareable, it's yours, and also the track record. You can see who's owned this card.
Track the provenance of it.
It's kind of interesting. And the best part too is it doesn't get nicked up and dinged up. Let's just be real, like any card, unless you got it slabbed up, folks, you could get a ding and it brings down the value tremendously. If you have a ding on any one of these cards, you know, as we know as kids, right? I mean, we would get dings all over these damn things.
Yeah, we put them on our bike spokes and stuff, man.
Man, I know. I always hear so many stories about that. Think about it. Go back and remember. I was even thinking about the abundance of also Pokemon, which is, it just adds to the industry. And I'm like, that came out when I was a senior in high school. I'm like, damn, if I had any insight, 1999, man, to be buying all these beginning, you'd be just sitting in the boatload, man. It's unbelievable because you just didn't know. You didn't know.
Yeah, of course, because the thing with like Pokemon, like we hear now when we're at these rookie events with NFL or NBA rookies, and we ask them about card collecting, and this kind of little time frame we're in with these kids that are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old.
Right.
They all collected cards. A lot of them collected sports cards, but a lot of them collected the Pokemon cards. And they talk about that even still. So,
I think it helps your industry to have both. I mean, if you have –
absolutely.
It's not going to slow you guys down. Obviously, we saw that today when I was trying to buy the boxes, folks. You couldn't get them, baby. The point is, at the end of the day – it's embracing. It's helping the whole industry for people to be collecting things. It's a new form of asset, and it's also fun. I mean, it has a little story to it, and you can sell it at some point, folks. You know, there is a monetization if you needed that money. I think that's what we're all kind of finding, is that that's probably why the industry boomed in 2020. People are trying to find extra ways to make money, buying blaster boxes at for $20. I've seen many photos. Hey, I was the first one in line to get the mosaic, and this dude had 20 mosaic boxes. And I mean, Walmart's got to figure something out about that, because I know there's a lot of pullback, but nothing you can do. I mean, you got someone that wants to make money. He was the first in line that day. Yeah. Well, those mosaics are whatever, $20. He can sell for $60 online. I mean,
it's profit, right?
Demand is there, and people are willing to pay for it. So it's like anything. It's just another business that has been created based on the demand, baby. So unbelievable, man.
That's real, man. The demand is real. Again, we're constantly kind of drop jawed here in the building when we see what things are going for, just because, you know, it's not necessarily something that we ever anticipate or that we build to kind of reach these realized market prices that are, quite frankly, way beyond what we had anticipated. So, but obviously what we're also seeing is that people are getting the value that they think they deserve out of it, because it's moving quick.
Yeah. If it wasn't there, it would, you know, just like a stock or anything, you know, no one would buy it, you know, if the product wasn't moving. And the beautiful thing you guys have done with the Dutch auction is that as the demand is there, it slowly goes down in price. So if there's no demand, you'll get the value. You just wait around and buy the value. You still have stuff on the store you can buy, but the high demand stuff is going to go, and you got to be right on it, you know, because there's a lot of people wanting that stuff for many different purposes. But yeah, you got to be at the helm, man. Very interesting. Anything new coming for Panini that you can release or talk about? Anything that you know, that you're trying to? Any big challenges you guys have seen this year? I mean, obviously, you guys have, it's been a rocket fire year for you guys, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say that we face kind of the similar challenges that everybody has, but the fact is we've addressed them, we've handled them kind of with relative ease, in the sense that from the combine time through August, September, we're on the road with all of our big events, the rookie photo shoots, the draft, the National Sports Collectors Convention, things like that we didn't have this year. And that sucked to not have those events, but I think our teams kind of improvised and found ways to kind of get through it successfully without really missing a beat when our production facility shut down for 5 or 6 weeks. During the initial stages,
the real intense part, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you're not making product. I mean, you're not making money either. So,
right.
But I think we kind of withstood that, and then kind of just jumped back in whenever we could. And so, yeah, I mean, in terms of new stuff, our guys and gals are always pushing the envelope, and a lot of things I don't even know that we're working on until.
They're like, hey, we got this cool new thing coming.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, dude, where was this? I could have promoted this or whatever. I could have teased it or whatever. But I just think no matter how much we do the Prism technology, whether it's in Prism or Select or Obsidian or any other product, the fact that we continue to find ways to make that compelling and different and unique is pretty impressive, I think, because at the end of the day, it's the same technology, but the way a cards are designed, the way that the stock is etched or the color schemes, it makes it fresh and lively every time. So I think you can probably continue to see more of that type of pushing the envelope, and there's always something else coming. It's just a matter of.
That's right, baby. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Because that's the thing everyone's looking forward to when they're ripping a pack open, looking for that color, baby, on the side.
I'm going to send you some boxes, too, by the way.
Hey, bro. Hey, we'll rip, man. We'll rip them.
Email me your address.
I will. I absolutely will, brother. It's the crazy thing about this industry, folks, is that it is so scalable. I'll tell you right now, sir, I certainly did not think in 2020, after all the things I got going on my plate, my wife says, to be creating another business for myself. But the hell I did, man. I created my own little sports blog business where we're actually marketing some of these valuable eBay listings and partnering up with some of these people that are actually have these valuable assets, as well as obviously our own. But I started just turning my own collection of stuff into some money, folks, some money, and then started getting into the industry instead of investing any more into stocks, which is great. I love it. I'm an investor, fully invested, love stocks, love anything with investments, folks. But this investment is just unlike any other one, because there's a true story behind when you're investing, not only in your favorite player, but in the story behind them. And then you get to watch them on the field. You know, you get to watch them participate. And if you get these things slabbed up in a case, they're pretty much sealed up forever almost. Yeah. And that you don't have to worry about the value, you know, but it's fun. I mean, I'll be transparent with you, my man. Me and my buddy, we're constantly sending each other. He just got the Panini, the black box, and he's ripping them. He's a dad, you know, we're all just kind of, it's like we're back at the card shop again, you know, and he's ripping them. Show me what I got. I'm getting him his favorite players. I've been sending out cards to people because that's what I love to do. I put a team bag together and just send them all their favorite cards, you know, kind of those cards that are mid value. They're not too expensive, but it's just a fun thing. It's just a fun thing. I think that more and more people are going to get into it. And I Panini, man, you guys are at the driver's seat, baby. But now we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
That's a tough one, huh? YouTube, baby. Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
You guys do a great job on your IG, man.
Thank
great
you.
Job. Love you guys on Thank your you. IG, sharing other people's stuff. If you guys are in any type of business, go check out what Panini is doing in many ways that they're doing it right, baby. Chicken or steak when you're thinking about a good meal?
Steak.
Let's go. You guys are in Texas. Man, was it the Pecan Lodge? That was a good
Pecan Lodge.
They got some good food, baby. Laptop or a smartphone?
Smartphone.
Smartphone. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Boom. Movies or video games?
Video games.
Video games. Reading books or listening to books?
Reading books.
Let's go. When you're thinking about other types of investments outside of sports cards and things like that, stocks or real estate?
For me, stocks.
Stocks, baby. Too easy, baby. Like me, nice to be able to just get in and out, not have to have a 30-day
exactly wait times.
Right. And hey, stocks have been been a great play over the last obviously 10 years. I mean, if you've been invested, you've been done well. Oceans or lakes when you're thinking about vacay?
Man, I'm in Texas. I got to go lakes.
Let's go. What's your favorite lake?
Oh, but a little lake called Lake Nakona. You probably
know. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But it's just north of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Got you. It's a smaller lake, so it's not as
Yeah, crazy. Exactly right. It's never crowded, which is awesome.
That's awesome. Do you have a boat? Do you get a chance to go out there? And
relax? My father-in-law has a boat, yeah.
Oh, nice.
We go rip it up in the summertime. And
that's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
There's nothing like being on the lake, man. Nothing like a beautiful ocean, but the lake is just, there's something special.
I love the ocean too, man. I'm just more used to lakes, right?
Yeah, and I'm not down to go too far on the ocean either. There's some big fish out there. I've seen them, folks. Not too far off the Pismo coast. I see some big old fish. They're ready to chomp on something.
Yes, sir.
So when you're waking up in the morning, my man, you're getting ready for your day. Why do you love being you?
Well, I mean, I got any number of reasons why. I mean, I'm blessed with a great family. I have two sons and a lovely wife that teaches fifth grade.
Oh, nice.
I got 19, 6-year-old boys that are healthy as crap and smart and better looking than me and all those things. And
what you want.
I got a great job. I got great friends. I'm a man of faith. And so, I mean, I live pretty happy. The glass, God's blessed me with a demeanor that the glass is always half full with me. And I know not everybody's wired that way. And I embrace that. And I love that about us as people. I mean, dream job. Look at me. I mean, look at this face. The guy, I grew up with an afro. I was cross-eyed. I had a girl's name and I stuttered. And so it was a tough, you know, I learned to be tough early. And now I'm just happy to be here, bro.
Pops and you, your kids have got to be like, Pops, you are the G, baby, because you're working for Panini, baby. I know all his kids and friends are talking about it. The millennials, man, the kids that are younger than me are the ones that are really in this thing. I mean,
yeah, I try to tell my kids how cool my job is, and they're like, they get it, like they know it's a cool job.
Right.
But they're surrounded by me all the time, so I think they take it for granted. But their friends think I have the coolest job ever, and I'm like, bro, your friends are right, bro. I do have the coolest job ever.
Dude, are you kidding me? And I can see this continually to correlate with fantasy football. You know, like as people are getting more into fantasy, they're going to want to people be deep into the people they collect, you know, especially if it's not that year, especially a lot of these leagues are multiple years. So you're drafting like you would a team. You're owning Drew Lock, your boy, for many years amongst injuries or whatever. You got him for the whole time. It's not just one season. So I think that even correlates bigger for you guys more and more as fantasy sports becomes even continually bigger, because it's surprisingly as you think it would be big, it could be even bigger, you know?
Trav, you're right. And if you think about like the players that you want on your fantasy team that you're taking one or two or three, those are also the guys whose rookie cards are just too hot to touch. So there is a direct correlation between those two.
Absolutely, dude. It's just a fun thing to see, man. When we're all done here, do you think you'll ever retire? Do you think you'll hang up the hat at Panini?
You know,
it'd be hard to, right? I'd be like, damn, this is...
Hey, let me tell you something. I don't plan on going anywhere for a while, but if they came in today, as I'm talking to you right now, and they said, hey, Tracy, man, it's been a good ride, but we got to let you go, I would thank them and be like, dude, I can't believe I've been doing this for this long. But, man, I'm not going anywhere. I'm a card guy. I'm a sports card guy. And until they kick me out, man, I'm here.
They ain't kicking you out, bro. You're at the helm of a beast, baby. Like, let's go. Let's go. We got Tracy at the helm, baby. Do you have a routine to start your day? Do you have something that you practice to get your day going?
You know, I usually get up, mess with the dog a little bit. The older son's at college. The younger son's usually at football practice in high school. By then, the wife's at school. So it's kind of me and the dog.
Nice. So
take the dog out, walk him, and then I'll either go jogging or go ride the bike and kind of just get everything rolling. And then come home, and it's, you know, I think the pandemic has been good for all of us in the sense that it's so easy to work from home, right? Or to work remotely that you don't really miss a beat in terms of productivity or meetings or anything. So unless I need to get my hands on cards or take photos of cards for social or whatever, the blog or whatever, I mean, I don't need to come in and I can still be as productive, but usually a little dog time, a little workout time, and then
get into the grind, baby.
Some work. Maybe I might steal away a little few games of Fortnite here and there, but that's between you and I.
That's the blessing of being able to work at home too, or just the productivity. You don't have the interruptions. You really get to focus. Most things I'd always see when I was working at Walt Disney Company, people constantly coming in and bothering me. Hey, I got to talk about it. Dude, it's like I'm in a bubble now and I just work, baby, you know? And so that's the beauty. It's so true. I think the whole world is figuring out that we actually can be very productive from home, and we don't completely miss being in the office. We like the freedom. My dad, who's even in his late 60s, started a business, never thought he'd be working from home, said, hey, I feel gratitude when I get to work at home. I was like, wow, that's crazy when you really think about it. But he was just expressing maybe some real honest moment there. Of you still can be very productive, and you get a lot of your control of your time, get to spend micro moments to do some other stuff, you know? Yeah. Do you have a skill you're trying to master right now? Is there something you're trying to get better at?
That's a great question. I think it's a simple thing. It's probably not – it's not going to set the world on fire, but I'm trying to get better and better at, like, Photoshop. And because I do a lot of kind of my own primitive graphics for either the – when I have to do them for Panini, I will. I mean, we've got the most talented graphic design people here, but I don't always want to bother them with my stuff. So, so I think that's something I try to tinker with all the time, try to get better at.
Yeah. And I think that's what skill, like it's an at the moment skill. I mean, everybody's trying to get better at that. And it's a skill that you really, if you can learn it, it's a really, an expertise, truly. Yeah. To understand
it's so beneficial. Like it helps you out in so many ways for like social, for advertising, for anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. So shout out to you for learning that, dude, and keeping embracing that, dude, because I think a lot of people say, oh, I don't need to learn that, but hey, why not, dude? Even if you got the team, why not learn how to do it? Do you have a favorite app on your phone right now outside of the Panini Direct app, folks? Which is one of my favorites. I won't lie to you. That's a good app. Man,
this is going to be a dumb answer, but it's Instagram.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm on there all the time.
Do you guys do stuff with live too on Instagram?
We do. Yeah. We used to do a lot more like when we were doing events and we'd be on location with athletes and stuff.
Right.
But so we used to do like breaks, like video breaks of our stuff. But as more and more people have come in, kind of my philosophy is let the people breaking do the break.
Oh yeah.
we'll share their breaks with our audience.
Smart.
And that way we're not like, because it's just, sometimes it can get unwieldy if we're doing our own breaks and we
totally
pull a card or we pull a crappy card. And
totally, dude.
So just let our people do it. And then we'll share their highlights. But yes, we do a lot of live stuff, but
once you get back to events and stuff, and I'm sure it'll be easier for you to break out the lives. It's been a struggle for everybody, but I think you're absolutely right on the approach there. Just like share everyone else's, there's millions of breaks happening. They're all tagging you right now.
Yeah,
and just share them, you know, because it's more authentic too, to share other people's. And that's really the funnest part about the hobby too. Even when I was a kid, is mm-hmm. opening those packs, opening those boxes, and getting a jam, baby. Oh, shit, I got the jam, you know. Back then, I didn't know the rookie cards were going to be so high. You never really thought that way, that these were going to be the most valuable things. But, yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. If you could sit down tonight to a steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be? Who would you want to sit down with?
One person?
Well, you could bring a team, maybe, or one person. Let's go.
All right, I'm going to say Eminem would be on the list.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Lose yourself in the moment. You know? You better never let it go.
If you see Eminem, I got to go with John Elway, just because.
The legend, dude.
I named my oldest son after him. I don't know how Eminem and John Elway would get along, but it'd be interesting to.
You never know, man.
And I'm going to throw out John. I'm going to throw out John Bones Jones as the third guy.
Oh, nice. There you go. Dang, that's an eclectic mix of people.
It is, yeah. It's kind of three of my favorites from different walks.
All different worlds, dude. That is awesome. I love that. Did you always love Eminem? I remember getting my first deck of Eminem in 1999.
Uh-huh.
We had a tape deck, and I was like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. And because you didn't hear that as a white dude. You didn't hear some guy going hard on some bars.
No, the first time, Hi, My Name Is kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I was like, oh, this. And then I heard more of his stuff, and I was like, wow. Like,
it's either one of those songs. I was like, that was part of his strategy, yeah. I felt like, was that he would have those songs that were so hard-lined, and then he would have other songs that were heartfelt and just had emotional mix of songs, yeah. But some of his biggest ones were the ones that people hated, you know?
Yeah, he's just such a gifted, like, lyricist, and man, I just...
A lost talent these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mumble rap, they call it. Which, yeah. I think, hey, the vibe's right, man. Hey, if you're making good music, it's all good, but... God, that music was just good, man, in those moments. There been a book that has changed your life? Has there been something that you reread? I know you're a man of faith, but do you have other types of books that you like to reread? Or?
No, my favorite author is Rick Riley, always has been.
Okay.
I read Life of Riley, back page columns in the womb to my kids. So I think his book, Life of Riley, was really good, which is just a collection of all of his columns.
Right.
But the way that he writes and the way that he can make you laugh and he can make you cry, or at least he made me cry, it's just incredible. It really, to be moved by someone's words like that, usually about sports, is just crazy. So I'd say Life of Riley is my favorite book.
I love that, dude. Love that, man. You have an incredible story, brother. And honestly, you are living the dream, man, at the helm with the team at Panini, folks. I love what you guys are doing, man. I'm going to be a continued fan, continued investor into the sport, the hobbies, from all different ones that I personally love. But folks, find out your favorite people and start collecting them. It's a fun thing to do. Girls and gals and all generations, you can do it now. And now's the time, because these card prices are not going to probably go down. I really think that they are valuable. It might have bumps in the road like stocks. You know, you see ups and downs. Of course, things slow down. Okay, things move. But folks, these cards, they don't go. You can't get another one.
Yeah.
So especially the blockchain cards, they're one-on-ones possibly.
Well, they're gone, right?
They're gone, man. Mr. Bezos is buying them all and putting it in a huge vault, guys. I was saying, dude, he could be buying like all the top auction items right now.
He might be.
And just sucking them up and just buying them all. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to sit on all these, you know. I got enough money coming in tomorrow to buy all the cards.
And you're not missing a beat, right? Just keep rolling.
I feel like there's dudes that are doing it. Why would they not? Why would you not?
I mean, it's something to do. It is like the new thing, right? And I love your point about how, like, because it's more to me, it's always been more about just monetary value, right? If I get lucky with Drew Lock, great. I'm a Drew Lock collector because I'm a Bronco collector.
Absolutely.
If I get lucky with like Terrell Davis back in the day, great. But it's, for me, it's completely coincidental that I'm a Broncos guy. Any Broncos that get hot, I'm in good shape. But there is value. There's emotional value. There's sentimental value. There's aesthetic value that doesn't always correlate to dollars and cents, right?
Yeah. And I think that's the way to look at it. More than a stock is that it's an investment that can not only break even, but it can go up. Let's just be real. But you're not in it only for that, you know?
Yes,
just, it's the exactly intention right. is a lot different than if you're buying a stock, you're buying Tesla stock. There's still the story there maybe on that, but a different than Peyton Manning. You're going after your favorite person. LeBron right now is killing it. I'm sure you're going to continue to kill it. He's a GOAT, folks. But, man, I really appreciate your time today, Tracy. Folks, you've been hanging out with Tracy Hagler and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you so much for your time today, and let's keep being real.
We're all going through a lot right now, and Real-Time Outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services little to no cost for most of the businesses. And some businesses, you're going to have to pay, but that's just part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now. So take advantage of us. Realtimeoutsource.com. Check us out. And we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond. Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, decisions, they're looking at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.